98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
So every Tuesday and Thursday from 8:15 to 9:15, we sit in with Max Starks live in studio here in the Oxygen Community Studios. However, that doesn't happen when we got a road show and a road trip. And the road trip today is Max Starks. Max, where are you at right now?
I am currently in Chicago, O'Hare Airport.
What you doing there, Max?
Yeah, in between flights, heading to Boston.
Now, to my knowledge, Phoenix to Chicago to Boston. We're a big enough city now where we have some direct flights to Boston, don't we?
No, apparently not. No. I looked. I wish.
Wow.
I was hoping.
We've got some issues. Somebody bring back a major carrier to this city and ignore buyouts and things like that. So Max has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line.
Do you have people around you, Max?
Not standing near me, but
it is O'Hare.
I'm in a breezeway.
You're in a breezeway. Okay, good. I just wanted a little visual image as to what you're doing.
I'm leaned up against a window looking at airplanes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Have you told anybody you're on the Doug and Wolf show right now? Has anybody seemed to care?
I have not. Nobody's made eye contact.
Oh, I see.
It's the East Coast thing.
All right, okay. That's very true. I admit that totally. So I say Cardinals, Vikings. You look at that Vikings offense. Is this scary, Max? Is this kind of scary for the Cardinals here?
I look at the Vikings offense and I look at what they've done. I mean, if I'm looking at the Rams Thursday night game offense, then mm-hmm. yes. But I've also seen where they've kind of struggled as well as an offense. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. I mean, I haven't seen the Vikings play consistently dominant like they were last year. And they're still going through kind of some growing pains with Kirk Cousins. So it's kind of hot and cold with him. So I'm not as fearful of it. And I feel more confident in what I think the Cardinals are going to do in now a second week. Really working towards getting Josh Rosen the offense that fits him.
Yeah.
And I think it can be a very competitive game.
Just going back, though, Max, to the Minnesota Vikings offense here, their offensive line, I'm curious to get your take on their offensive line.
Well, I think the offensive line is built pretty solid. I loved the fact that, what Pat Elflein did last year. And, obviously coming off of injury has kind of still been a little bit nicked up. But I think he's a solid guy. I look across at their guards. They're decent. Nothing scary. I think if we can actually get Robert Kendiche on the field, I think he could actually have a good game against the guards.
Yeah.
And then the tackles are okay. So, I mean, if we get actually a healthy defense out there, so if you get Golden, if you get Kendiche practicing and getting ready for the game, I think the defense can actually penetrate that offense and cause some problems for Kirk Cousins. Because Kirk Cousins, when pressure hits him, he doesn't have that escapability, and he gets frazzled, and that's where mistakes happen, and that's where turnovers happen. I think that's what the Cardinals are going to have to do to slow this Minnesota Vikings team. You don't want them catching their stride and Kirk Cousins feeling comfortable in the pocket.
Max, I would also say as well, too, I think we can expect to see Chandler Jones actually line up over Rashad Hill a lot, because watching Rashad Hill on tape, boy, he seems stiff. His technique seems bad, and he seems stiff himself. I think we could see Chandler Jones over him a lot.
I think you will, but I think what they'll do to combat that is that they'll drop Rudolph right over there, and I think they'll utilize a lot more chipping. I think it'll be based on Chandler Jones's position. That's why I say when you have a Kibichi and a Golden, I think they'll eat because the attention will be geared towards Chandler Jones. But you need those two guys because those are your other two pass rushers who can affect the passer if Chandler Jones is getting double teamed.
And they do like play action a lot.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Max Starks joining Doug and Wolf for Maximum Football. Okay, we have Steve Wilks talking about it.
We definitely got to improve in that area.
And he's talking about running the football, squarely putting it on the offensive line. Mark Schlereth was on Bickley and Murata yesterday, and he was saying how unimpressive the Cardinals' offensive line is in rushing the football. And what's so weird, Max, I don't know if you were with Wolf and I, we were very worried about pass protection this year, but nobody was worried about this offensive line at the point of attack moving other men from point A to point B and being able to run the football. What's happening? What are you seeing from the Cardinals' offensive line? Why is the run game so poor compared to what we thought it was going to be?
Well, I think the addition of three new guys on that offensive line from center on over makes it tough, because you think about the chemistry the crew had over the last 2 years, and that's one pressure point. Plus, you don't know who's going to be in at right tackle. Is it Andre Smith? Is it Wetzel? And then not having A.Q. Shipley there to really confidently call out what each block is as far as the assignment on the interactions, especially when it comes to double teaming. And that's why it looks like all David Johnson does is run the dive play and off tackle. And he hasn't had a lot of success. And I think that needs to be a point of emphasis on why this offensive line is not where it should be, is because it's still in flux and it still doesn't have that great chemistry when you look at them protect. I mean, I look at, you know, that, hate to bring it out, but that third and two play from 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
You know, you're running the toss crack and everybody thinks it's a down call, and Mason Cole sees a down call, but did he call it? And because if so, you know, you didn't bring your Potty and Humphreys with you on the down call. So that's where just one assignment error and leaves a gap, and then you have a completely busted play. And that's why this team's stalemating, is because the communication isn't clean along that offensive line, because they haven't been together, they haven't worked together, and there's still guys switching in and out of it.
You know, Max, I also think, too, one of the reasons why they've had a difficult time running the ball, they're seeing a lot of eight-man boxes, and it's not just the three new additions, of course. I think that totally has credence. But I think it's the fact they've received poor quarterback play, and now they've got a rookie quarterback, right? And also,
yeah.
David Johnson is your running back. I mean, I think David Johnson alone lining up in the Q position in the backfield immediately puts everybody on point that is in the box. In particular, I would say in rundown situations. So I think you've got a front seven or a front eight in many cases. They're on point. They know this is about the only thing these guys do and do well.
Well, but also you think, if that's the case, why isn't the play action also working as well? Because that's what's supposed to free up the eight-man box to get you to a seven. You're supposed to throw yourself out of an eight-man box. And that's what we're not seeing, is that if they show it, that's what they're going to. They're not audibilizing out of it or throwing a now when it's off coverage to help relieve that, instead of just saying, okay, it's eight-man box, we're in I formation, we got to run it here.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that freedom and having, like you said, having a rookie quarterback and not being trustworthy yet, that you can give them the full gamut of the offense, that's where it's gonna look very ordinary and plain until you have that sense of confidence. Plus, you have an offensive line that's ready to adapt to it. And that can block it, say, hey, it's eight, but we need to get three just to make it worthwhile on this run and not take a negative two loss or a zero-yard, you know, zero gain.
I think
that's where it's kind of a synergy between both of them.
Yeah, they need more Christian Kirks down the middle of the field for 75 yards and a touchdown. They need J.J. Nelson not to drop the ball.
Yeah, that would help. Max,
who are you telling?
The question on everybody's mind for you, since you're at O'Hare, do you fit in coach at all?
I do in certain locations.
I see.
When you're a seasoned traveler, you have to know your equipment. What airline am I flying on? What type of plane is it that I'm flying on? And then where are the big man seats? You know, like when you go to a roller coaster,
yeah. You're
sitting in line, you're like, hey, where's the big man seat on the roller coaster? They have those. So you find out what row it is, and you find out where you need to be in line to get the big man seat.
There's
so that's what I
analyst.
Do with airplanes.
Yeah, I know you can analyze that. Good to talk to you. Thanks,
yeah.
Max.
Man, good talk to you guys.
Okay,
have a good weekend.
Max Starks live in Chicago, joining us on his way to Boston for the games that that he covers, both with Westwood One and on television as well. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, again, a simple question in which Josh Rosen gives you an answer deeper than anything you expected. It's you and another man. And the two of you are the only people left on planet Earth. Yeah, that was his answer to a question. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Joker knows.
Thanks for listening to the Doug and Wolf Show here in the Auction Community Studios. I have always been, I shouldn't say always, but man, been a big fan of the NFL and NBA draft. I've always loved college football, college basketball. And the 2018 NFL draft, I think, is going to fascinate a lot of people for a long time. And it's always going to be about the quarterbacks.
Yes.
Always going to be about the four quarterbacks. They start all the same weekend and they go 0-4. And then last weekend, they all go 4-0. And we even every Wednesday do three mistakes for you to keep an eye on what all four quarterbacks are doing. But there was a comment from Josh Rosen yesterday, and it was a statement. But to me, it goes all the way back to the why. How many times we talk about this with Josh Rosen, the why, and why he keeps asking why, and what he has to know. And you've talked about it before, too, with the there are some guys that's just tell me what to do. And then I'll just go do that.
Correct.
And could care less about the scheme or all the other particulars or why you're asking me to do this. Just, okay, hit that guy. Good. Fine. Done. I'll go do that. Yet Josh Rosen has to know everything about the why. And we have, I don't know about you, but for me, I've only looked at it linear. That he has to know the why from the offensive coordinator or the why from the head coach. This is a story about Josh Rosen having to know the why from the other guy. Why do you like something?
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just a one-way street with him. He wants to know what the other guy thinks. And the reason why this is appropriate is because I think a lot of you know there's a new receiver coming to town, okay? So Steve Wilks talked about bringing in Kendall Wright, and this is what he said.
Try to mix things up in all positions, particularly at the receiver position where we need more production. Wright's doing well. We'll see exactly how he progresses throughout the week and see if he's going to be ready to play on game day.
So not Kendall Wright's here. So then what do you do as a media member? You go over to Josh Rosen and you ask Josh Rosen, all right, you got a new receiver. How do you acclimate yourself with the new receiver? What do you do to get to know the new receiver? And instead of we go get some coffee or we'll go do this or anything, he asks him a question that he always wants to know the answer to.
For the most part, it's just making sure you're fully locked into those reps you get in practice, maybe getting a couple after practice and just kind of trying to get to know what specifically they like and don't like. I mean, I've got a list of every route that a receiver in press man, if you are the only two people on planet Earth and you need to get open, what route do you want? So I've got that kind of with all my guys, and you just want to, I try to, obviously they have to run the offense, but for the most part, I want to get a little bit of sort of a unique taste of each player and what they like, and that's what I'm trying to build with Kendall a little bit.
See, that's where I get a little sideways on that, because I mean, they're running the offense. When you get pressed man, you've got to run. Okay, you've got an adjustment. Exactly right. You don't get to, you know what, I'm going to run it in on this one because that's my, so he kind of lost me a little bit right there, but I do love the fact that he's considering it. The one thing I would caution with Josh Rosen, and this is, believe me, if this is your biggest problem with a guy, this is really a good thing, but he has almost information overload. This is a guy that absorbs all of this information and wants it all. And sometimes that stuff can be almost too much at some point in time. Now look, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe it's just having too much information. Is there ever a bad thing? Is it?
Can you handle it?
You possibly ever have too much information?
If you can handle it, no.
So as I'm sitting here, I'm contradicting myself.
I was wondering where you're going.
All right, I reject myself in front of king and country, as a matter of fact. Because as a quarterback, I don't think you can ever have too much information as long as you do one thing, my brothers. You turn it off once you start reading.
I'm not a schemer. I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things
we
really are.
Understand. Thank you very much. That was classic. That was perfect for what we were talking about as well. The Joker, right? This is a guy who's brilliant. You can have too much information overload when you're trying to react.
Still got to play.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean,
you still got to play. I don't think you can have too much information as you're preparing. Don't think that's possible. As long as when the ball's snapped, now you're just playing.
There's a couple of things. Number one, your first statement that you made as you were trying to figure out what you were saying, which was who else would have a problem with the why? Okay, there's nobody that has a problem with him asking why too often.
Because of fit.
Because, I mean, who else would have a problem with that? Now, number two, I think with Rosen, I'm wondering his question about if it's just you and another man on planet Earth, what route can you do against press man that you love to get open? He does save himself. We got to run the offense. But
yes,
how does that not mean at some point on a 3rd and 4 when you call the play, he knows somebody well enough that he looks out and after he calls the play, that receiver starts walking out and he goes, hey, this is your route. Or he gives him the nod.
Dangerous.
And you know what? But the great ones are crazy that way.
That's what's dangerous right there. You don't want to predetermine anything. You want it to just happen, right? Kurt Warner, Graybeard. I'd love to get his take on this. Again, we're talking about the quarterback position here. But the biggest asset that Kurt Warner had, in my opinion, was the fact that he'd keep his eyes down the field. And he'd never predetermine. He'd let coverage come to him.
But I remember also,
whoever was open, you were going to get the ball.
Every quarterback is different. But I remember hearing stories, and if you're a 49ers fan, you'll know better than me. But I remember hearing stories of Bill Walsh being upset after a successful play and asking Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, what are you doing? That wasn't the route. How did you know to do that? And Joe Montana would literally say, I don't know. I don't know how I knew Jerry was going to do that. And Jerry would say, I don't know that I was going to do that. But they just knew that's what we need to do as the play was forming.
Touchdown, Bill.
And it's wrong when it happens, but for some reason, greats figure out that's what we should do. And I'm not putting the label on Josh Rosen because there's been plenty of people that thought they could do it and can't. But it is interesting that he thinks like some of the great quarterbacks, whether he's actually going to excel, whether he's actually going to be able to do it, are two different things. But it does seem like he thinks like genius quarterbacks have thought.
Interesting.
Now, can he physically back up the thought? I have no idea yet.
Yes.
Don't miss your chance to see the debut of DeAndre Ayton at the Coca-Cola and Fry's food stores tip-off on October 17th. As the Phoenix Suns take on the Dallas Mavericks, head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, what does the Cardinals defense need to do to stop the Vikings on Sunday?
They'll do a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up next, we'll go into Wolf's Film Room on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Get loose. Get loose. Come on now.
Why are you stretching during a radio show?
I'm getting ready. We'll do it live.
I admit, I don't even remember where that button is. I don't even remember.
We'll start banging away on that stuff right there. Punch you in the face Tuesday on a Thursday.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
Didn't mean the South Park, though. That's old, though. That was Bill O'Reilly, if you don't remember.
No.
When he was doing like one of those Weekend Update or whatever current affair type shows and just lost his mind on not having time to record the ending of the show. So he just starts yelling.
We'll do it live! We'll
do it live!
Yeah, if you've ever YouTubed it, it is fantastic to watch it. Especially when they go to dark and there's no sound, but you still see him yelling without the mic on. Oh,
yes.
Really, really entertaining. There might be some yelling going on at the Arizona Cardinals defense on Sunday. Yeah, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I'm nervous about this one.
Why?
Well, only player in the Super Bowl era to have 100 yards receiving in five straight games to start a season is Adam Thielen.
Yes. Boy, he's good.
Diggs,
47 receptions.
If you haven't heard the story of Thielen, it's unbelievable. No Division I teams want him, so he goes to a small college in Minnesota because he's from Minnesota. The combine doesn't even invite him. He pays his way to a regional combine. Wow. And then nobody still drafts him. And then, fine, his agent talks to the Vikings into giving the local kid a chance. And so there's zero that's been given to him at any point in his football career. And now, yardage-wise, he's one of the best receivers in the game.
Yeah, what do you say we go ahead and take a look at the Minnesota Vikings? Tape don't lie.
Ron Wolfling.
This is as real as it gets for me.
Spends hours grinding film and scouting opponents.
This stuff is life and death for me.
Exclusive access.
It's who I am.
Invaluable insight that gets you ready for the game.
I am going to beat you into the ground all game.
This is Wolf's Film Room.
All right, Bear, could you go ahead and do me a favor? Give me a digital download from my cloud account, please. I'd appreciate that. Something that's beautiful. That is Maynard. Oh, Maynard. You big, beautiful. I read your book. All the way from Jerome, Arizona. A little lateralis, my brothers. Kirk Cousins is no Steerborn Stark, ladies and gentlemen. But the quarterback struggles to be part of the quarterback elite in the National Football League has similarities to this Viking wannabe king. Steerborn the Strong, as he became to be known, was in line to be the king, was going to be a co-ruler when he was 16, was denied his birthright, left the kingdom, attacked everybody, and died on a battlefield after burning his boats, trying to take the throne of Sweden by force. Cousins wasn't the franchise quarterback. Was the franchise quarterback. Wasn't. Was. And then wasn't. And now is the franchise quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Watching him on tape reaffirms the universal truth of offense being pulled through the prism of the quarterback position and how critical it is, my brothers, to have the franchise throwing the ball. And he is the franchise. But like Steerborn, he has a lot of help around him. Berserkers were champion Norse warriors who reportedly fought in a trance-like fury, a characteristic which later gave rise to the English word berserk. The Vikings offense has three berserkers at wide receiver, count them three, Adam Thielen, Laquon Treadwell, and Stephon Diggs. These receivers attack secondaries at every level. Adam Thielen has 47 receptions on the season, Basinonians, and has developed into one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Treadwell appears to be fulfilling some of his first-round talent. And Stephon Diggs, he may have the best double-move takeoff I've ever seen. He is flat-out dangerous. Speaking of takeoffs, the Vikings offense has taken off to become the number three passing team in the league. Cousins likes play action, and the Vikings use it a lot to throw the ball and take shots down the field. John DeFilippo is the Vikings' new offensive coordinator, and even though they can't run the ball to save their clan's village, they use play action to take called shots down the field using an eight-man max protection. And they need everybody they can get to protect Kirk Cousins. This offensive line is not good. The Vikings can't run the ball between the tackles. They're number 31 in rushing yards per game and number 29 in rushing yards per play. Statistically, the Vikings are right in the middle of the league in sacks per attempt allowed. But when you watch the protection schemes of their offensive line, they don't pass the eye test, especially at right tackle. Kirk Cousins seems to be under more duress than Stearborn Stark was when he moved against the throne of Sweden by landing 200 longboats and then burning them. Burning them so his men would fight to the death. DeFilippo has tried to counter their lack of ground and pound by attacking the perimeters. And this is disconcerting if you're the Cardinals. The Cardinals' edge players are going to be critical in this game. Chandler Jones, Marcus Golden, and company need to set the edge and get the edge and keep Cousins in a constant state of harassed. Oh, and then there's this. 21 personnel. The 49ers shredded the Cards' nickel package using two backs, including a fullback. The Vikings love 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. But expect to see a fullback on Sunday, my brothers. The Kirk Cousins may be the prism of all things offensive for Minnesota and many Redskin fans as well. But the way to beating their offense is to beat him physically and metaphorically bury him at Gamla Uppsala. Just like Stearborn Stark. Ha ha! Duh! Maynard, thank you. You can pot that down now. It doesn't get much better. Maloney, I saw you roll your eyes, all right? But it doesn't. That felt good.
From a standpoint of listening to good radio, it was really good. From the standpoint of watching radio, do you know what PHX support is?
PHX support, Phoenix support, right?
Yeah, I probably should have said that on air, but that's the email for you to send when you've got problems with equipment. So you don't have to keep moving your microphone all over the place and watching your microphone fall to the table because it won't stay up while you're doing that.
Just seriously, give me the eye black. Let's smear it on, my brothers.
Really dumb of me to say that. Someone's going to send an email now that's listening. He's like, oh, hey, would you come fix this? I got a plumbing problem. Great eats, great drinks, all for a great cause. Don't miss. Oh, let me start this if I can do it again. Great eats, great drinks, all for a great cause. Don't miss Dish It Out on October 21st at High Street as the best restaurants in the Valley serve up their best dishes, all in support of the Boys and Girls Club of Metro Phoenix. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for complete details and you chance to win tickets. 21. Interesting.
You chance.
Yeah, that's what it says. You can take 20 seconds off the clock there.
She got smart eyes.
Coming up next, Paul's call challenges the smart eyes of the Vikings on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's call.
Let me get this straight around here. I mean, what the...
Look, this is my serious face.
I mean... To this day, we can't get the stoplights to sync up on Shea Boulevard.
That's plain stupid!
Yet, Wolf, it's not funny. The bad guys are building state-of-the-art tunnels through our mountains. They just found another one east of San Diego.
The tunnel is high-tech. It has lighting, ventilation, a rail system, and two sump pumps in it.
It's probably a health club in there, free breakfast.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. No, seriously, you know what else they found?
Whoever built the tunnel, likely a drug or smuggling cartel, did go green with it.
What?
The tunnel's high-tech setup is powered by solar panels.
Solar panels!
I mean, come on!
Drug tunnels going green.
The tunnel is over 600 feet long, but was not yet done.
I mean, it's they got beer on tap down there? Is it a man cave?
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh? You perhaps know? A Teddy Bruschi?
I'll tell you what, forget funding the border wall.
Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post.
No, I'll stand a post with the sawed-off shotgun of sports!
Oh.
Sports takes and, oh, I don't know, guys around here, Doug and Wolf, who need to raise their game.
Over the next 2 years...
we'll be really good on defense or I'll quit. Promise. We will be really good on defense or I won't be here.
A few other guys around here, Detour Dan, who need to make that same vow, that same promise after years of unacceptable performance.
Can I go to 3 years, Paul?
I mean, you know.
you want more time?
All I know is we salute Danny Gonzalez. It's like those t-shirts we used to wear back in college in the student section. Hey, Stanford, we upped our standards, now up yours.
Goodness gracious.
Sort of reminds me of.
Like, where does the sun rise?
Wait, Wolf, you shouldn't be laughing. You shouldn't be laughing, Wolf. You know what? Just for that, didn't a Niners fan give you the up yours salute on Sunday? Remember that? Doug, we're on the team bus. Wolf looks out the window, and some Niners fan saluted Wolf. He went with the old school, like, shove it sign. He did the whole, you know, like, and Wolf just, I mean, Wolf just faced it right there from the parking lot.
Totally right here.
He just got the old arm across the elbow and then straight up with the fist. I mean,
that's old school.
That
man.
Was old school. I mean, it kind of warmed my heart to see that.
Ball.
There's nothing better than a win
right there
in the opponents, you know, a division win on the road, and then the opposing fans are given the old shove it sign.
Paul, why are Bay Area people so angry?
You know, it is amazing. There's not nearly the hostility, though, as Candlestick.
I mean, I see.
Not even close.
Okay.
It's very Silicon Valley down there. So that's why it warmed my heart, Doug, because, you know, it's like the old throwback back in the day. You know, I mean, it's sort of like what Coach Buzzkill wanted to give this media guy yesterday.
Don't you feel like you're playing for the top seed in the AFC with this game, that the stakes are that
big? I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Does it seem like a higher stakes game than
normal? Playing Kansas City.
He's trying to ask the zoom out question, big picture, dude. I mean, there you go, Wolf. Spin your wheel for us, would you, Wolf?
It's just honestly, you turn know, of fortune.
I mean, this media guy asking. I mean, this is Coach. Do your job, and you're asking him to talk big picture on week six.
Nothing for you.
It's not going to happen. I mean, not with Coach one game at a time.
No days.
That's right.
Off.
You know.
No days off.
He thought that was going to be a chance. That was going to be a chance.
It's like that.
A bunch of guys that took a day off of work to go to a parade.
I mean, it's like that moment we had last night.
The
reporter in Vegas asked LeBron about his halftime buzzer beater last night. Roll that.
Different circumstance, but did your shot at the end of the half remind you of the shot that Steph hit at the end of the half in game one of the final?
No.
I don't want to talk about that. Why would you bring that up? I'm trying to leave those memories behind.
I mean, come on, man. You know, it's a,
dude. I'm with you, Paul.
And then before the game, Doug, someone tried to raise the stakes.
Dude.
With another dude factor question.
Looking forward to maybe seeing them a little more often in the rivalry itself.
What's the rivalry?
Lakers and the Warriors.
I don't know nothing about it.
There ain't no rivalry, pal. It's the preseason.
Dude.
You know? It's. Then again, it's not always the media. I mean, sometimes it is the NBA players.
I love Jimmy, man. Him being around, his energy. Yeah. He's a good person. His energy is amazing.
It's Jeff Teague. Why would he be asked about Jimmy Butler?
I don't care.
Well, Jimmy Butler shows up at T-Wolves practice and basically does his dramatic reenactment of Braveheart.
They'll never take home freedom!
He leads the scrubs to a win over the starters.
Cinderella story out of nowhere.
An epic performance.
We're talking about practice. Man.
No, he brought it, AI.
We ain't talking about the game.
No.
We're talking about practice,
no.
Man.
We're talking about one of the great basketball upsets of all time.
I don't care what the scoreboard says.
That's
at
right.
The end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
I mean, out of nowhere, Jimmy Butler, he's yelling at his teammates, his coach, his GM.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, maybe a little bit, but Jimmy Butler does speak his mind.
I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another.
That's right. I mean, why so shy?
Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right.
Yeah, at least he signed it. He owned it.
And put some stank on it.
Put some stank on it is right.
I mean, if somebody was trying to embarrass Jimmy publicly, I think he'd feel differently. That's just a guess.
It's just Jimmy being Jimmy.
That's who he is. There's Johnny being Johnny.
That's right. You know, I mean, everything except the inflatable swan. It's just Jimmy being Jimmy.
That's raw me. me at my finest, right. me at my purest. Right. That's what you're going to get right. inside the lines.
There's a new Nike campaign right there, once again.
That's raw me.
There's a t-shirt. It's like Josh Rosen.
I am me.
Right.
And I'm not trying to model my game or, I mean, I admire quarterbacks, but I don't try to emulate or act like they do. I do me. I mean, it's gotten me to this right. point, so why change?
This is the new wave with athletes, gentlemen. Me. You know, I am me. I do yes. me. That's raw me.
That's raw me.
You know, it's, you know, it's the way it is, you know? Jimmy.
That's raw me. Yeah. Me at my yeah, finest. Yeah, yeah. Me at
okay.
my...
Although, I will say this. I mean, if he's out there on the trade market, I no. mean, dude's a virtuoso like another Jimmy. That's right. Go get him, sons. Come on now. Go make the Jimmy Butler happen. We want Jimmy. We'll just leave it at that.
Right. No longer.
It's time once again for No Comprendo.
Glad I didn't hear that. Get ready for the knock at your door, Wolf.
Cable guy.
No Halloween.
The kids, they come up to the door, they knock, and they say, I know that's you, Coach Gruden. I got my Chucky mask on.
That's right. You know, here's the thing, though. Not every young punk is going to get candy.
Question, how old is too old to trick or treat?
There's a movement afoot, gentlemen, to ban teenagers from trick or treating.
Some cities not only suggest an age, they will send kids over the legal limit to jail for dressing up and going door to door looking for candy.
Stop it.
No comprendo.
If you're a teenager in some towns and you say the word trick or treat,
cops, every man for himself.
You might do hard time.
Let's start in Chesapeake, Virginia. Anyone over the age of 13 who is caught trick-or-treating can be sent to jail for up to 6 months and fined.
6 months?
No comprendo.
I tell you, Casa Calvisi, effective this year. We're carding kids.
Full blurring. Mall cop.
Are you a teenager? Because
in Newport, Virginia, kids can trick-or-treat until 7th grade or until they turn 12. After that, it's a misdemeanor.
That's right. We're going to make citizens arrest.
I'm Duke Boys. I got him this time. I got him this time.
Don't make me call Sheriff Penzone on all you punk teenagers.
I don't like nobody touching right. me.
We're zero tolerance.
Lighten up, Francis.
12 or under. Or else. 12 or under or else. That's our new saying.
That's...
Oh, ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is I don't really have that as a law, but I have it as a rule in my house. And I give kids speeches who are teenagers that come to my door.
Speeches.
They don't come back.
What's worse than the apple or the box of raisins? A speech from old man Franz down
yeah.
the road.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
What are you
going to
do with your life?
Somebody's getting egg off the front door. Peace and strength.